It's interesting, though.
It's definitely interesting.
Okay, Chevra, let's try to understand. You know, Rosh Chodesh is a good opportunity. First of all, it's the first day of our shiur together, so it's a good time to think about goals and where we wanna get to, what we're trying to do. And Rosh Chodesh Shvat happens to be a very, very auspicious time to renew our commitment to Torah. So it's good to get together and start fresh on this day. It's a big day in Jewish history. What happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Anyone know? What happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? All right, we'll find out. The Imre Emes, the third Ger Rebbe, said that any date that is explicitly mentioned in the Torah is a big thing. Not a lot of dates in the Torah. I mean, there's some, but there's not a ton. So whenever we have a date that is specifically mentioned, explicitly mentioned in a pasuk, that means it's a chashuv day. So Rosh Chodesh Shvat is explicitly mentioned at the beginning of Chumash Devarim. That's a clue. Start thinking about it, but we'll see. Yeah.
I know something that happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat.
You do? Right there.
Yish was born.
Oh yeah. Your birthday. No way. Okay. Wow. Okay. Happy birthday. Yeah, brachas for everybody. Okay. Buah buah. True blessed. Okay, so let's try to understand. Every month has many. I guess what my brother, for those who know of Davido, would call puzzle pieces. There's a lot of different ways to analyze a month. Okay, at the top of the page, I gave you a very helpful and useful and mysterious chart, which teaches us that every month has a name of Hashem that's associated with it. Every month has a pasuk that corresponds to that name of Hashem, as we'll see. Every month has a pu'ula, an action. Every month has a body part. I'm just reading across the top line of the chart. Right, that's both in terms of the body and in terms of the facial structure. There's a separate component to the face for every month. Every month has a Hebrew letter that is particularly associated with that month. Every month has a mazal, an astrological sign. Even though the Gemara says, Ein mazal li Yisrael, there's no mazal. The Jewish people are able to transcend mazal. But there's a mazal, there's a mazal to the cycle of the calendar. And of course, 12 months and 12 shvatim, every month has a shevet that corresponds to that month. Okay? So if you're a deep person and you like to think creatively, right, so you can pull out this chart. You can look at it, and you could try to figure out what are some of the connections between all of these different things. How does the body part connect to the name of Hashem, connect to the mazel, connect to... There's a lot of work to be done. One of the svarim that is the most important in terms of introducing us to the pnimius of each month is the Sefer B'nai Yisaschar. Rav Tzvi Ali Melech of Dinov, it was just his yahrzeit in Teves. And he cracks open every month and reveals to us many, many secrets about the nature of the calendar year. Tzadikim said you can't really approach a Yom Tov until you've learned the B'nai Yisaschar. You can't really come to Chanukah, you can't come to Purim, you can't come to a Tu B'Shvat, you can't come to a Pesach Seder without learning a little bit of the B'nai Yisaschar. He really did a wondrous thing for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let's look at the line for Shvat, okay, by the arrow. Let's just take a look. Let's see what we have here. Okay, now first of all, the name of Hashem, the most basic name of Hashem, the one that appears in the Torah approximately every third pasuk, for those who want to know the number is 1,820 times. That's how many times the name Yud-Keh, Vav-Keh appears in the Torah, Hashem's name. Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey appears 1,820 times in the Torah. So those four letters can be rearranged in 12 different patterns. Does that make sense? Mathematically, that makes sense to everybody? Yes? Okay. What'd you say? Oh, the word Yud-Keh Vav-Keh in the Torah, 1,820. 1820. All right, but when you have four variables, so really you should be able to arrange it in 24 different ways, but since you have two hays, so it's 12. Okay, so if you just look through that first column, you could see what month has the name of Hashem, Keseder, in order? Nisan. Why? Seder, first month. Everything is Mesudar, right? It's Hashem revealing Himself to the world. It's the Pesach Seder. The world is in a natural state. The trees look like a tree is supposed to look. Right now, the trees look barren and dead. Right? But in Nisan, the springtime, everything looks like everything is Mesudar. Spring cleaning, is part of the secret of the name of Hashem for the month of Nisan. Everything has to straighten itself out in the month of Nisan. Okay? What month is Hashem's name backwards? So people sometimes think, Adar, v'nahafachu. Right? Tammuz. Tammuz. Is that correct? Let's see. Hey, Vav, hey, Yud. Okay, Tammuz. Why Tammuz? Yeah? Right. So why not Av? If Av is really Tisha B'Av, if that's like the worst of the worst, so why not Av? Okay, good. So the beginning of the end, right? The downfall starts in Tammuz. Right? And you can't say Av is totally backwards because Av has one of the greatest Jewish holidays, which is Tu B'Av, whatever that mysterious holiday is about. Right? The 15th of Av, the Gemara says, the Mishnah really says, is one of the greatest. There's no holiday like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. So Av can't be such a bad month. The first 9 days of Av are very, maybe even 10 days of Av are very heavy. Right? But then by the midpoint of Av, things are transitioning. Okay? So it's actually interesting. If you look at Tammuz, so Hashem's name is totally backwards, look at Av. What's Hashem's name for Av? You see it starts off backwards, and then what happens at the midway point? It straightens out. It goes back to Yud, and hey, it straightens itself out, because that's what's happening at the midway point of Chodesh Av. Right? That's why we call it Chodesh Menachem Av. It's not so bad. It starts off bad, but then there's a lot of Nechama, and there's a lot of Kirva, there's a lot of closeness to Hashem. There's a lot of good things that that emerge. Okay, so what's the name of Hashem for the month of Shvat? And what does it mean? What do we learn from it? Okay, so Shvat is He and Yud and Vav and He. Everyone see that by the arrow? Okay. So how do we analyze it? Boker Tov. Welcome. Trevor, you're in the presence of one of the greatest Jewish music artists of all time. It's changing the scene. Okay, find the chair though. Wanna, here, come jump in. Jump in. Jump in. Welcome. Okay, so how do we understand this name? How do we understand Hey and Yud and Vav and Hey? What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, look at Hey Yud is the first two letters inverted backwards, and then Vav Hey is what? Are the two letters in their proper place, right? Yud, K, Vav, K. So the last two letters are in their proper place. So how do we understand the month of Shvat? And what's happening at sort of the midway point of Shvat? I guess Tu B'Shvat. Okay, that's a big holiday, whatever that's about. I'll have to see. Right, but Shvat also, it starts off a little bit backwards, inverted, and then it starts to straighten itself out. Okay, so let's try to think about what that means. We're going to try to think about that. No, Reb Ezra, what do you want to say?
I want to say it's the only one that the pasuk is Hamar Yomrenu Vehuhu Tzayud Vavhei, the first pasuk.
No, so actually each one of the psukim alludes to the name of Hashem. Sometimes it's the first letters, it's the Rashi Tevos. Sometimes it's the Sofei Tevos. Okay, so I'm glad you pointed that out, because now we can notice that. So look at Nisan, right? Nisan is Yudkei Vavkei Yismachu Hashamayim Visagel Haaretz. You see that? The first letters spell out Yudkei Vavkei. Everyone see that? Okay, ER also. If you look at ER, yeah? So that's actually, it's a little typo, that's why it's hard to understand it. It's supposed to say, Yishalel Hamishalel. It's missing the hey. Okay, I didn't make this chart myself. But that's why, Yishalel Hamishalel Haskel V'Yadoa. Hey, it's Yud, hey, Vav. Okay, so each pasuk alludes to the name of that month, okay? So now, what is the pasuk, Ezra points out, what is the pasuk? What is the pasuk for the month of Shvat? Hamer Yemirenu Vahaya Hu. Okay, we'll find out. Anyone recognize the context? Anyone's Bar Mitzvah Parasha? I don't have any idea what that's talking about. It's actually a Mesechta in Shas that's dedicated to this one pasuk. Meseches Temura. Anyone know what Meseches Temura is about? What's Temura about? Exchanges. Exchange. Temura means to exchange. Okay, so we'll find out what these psukim are about. Okay? What's the action for the month of Shvat? Again, just going across that line. What's the pu'ula for the month of Shvat? L'ita. What's L'ita? No.
To swallow,
to eat. It's a type of eating. Usually it means in a very gluttonous fashion. Who said, Haliteini nav, min adom adom azeh? When Esav came in and he wanted some of that soup, he said, pour it down my throat. So eating has something to do with Shvat, right? Maybe that has something to do with the eating of Tu B'Shvat. Maybe it has something to do with the first sin of all time when Adam Rishon ate improperly. Maybe we're fixing the eating. Maybe we're learning how to eat in a holy way. Maybe that's part of the avoda of Shvat. Maybe part of the avoda is not eating. Maybe we're supposed to be fasting. We're in the days of Shovavim. Those who know what that is, we'll talk about it. Right? Many people fast during these days. So maybe we're trying to fix eating. Eating is a very physical desire. Eating got us into a lot of trouble at the beginning of time. Learning how to eat like a Jew is a big thing. Okay, so maybe we'll have to see what that is. The Aver, the body part, is the Korkovan. The Korkovan is actually, I don't even know if humans have a Korkovan. It's part of the digestive tract of an animal. Again, something to do with eating. Something to do with the ability to eat, to swallow, like to digest.
Crop? It's like a body part?
What's it called? The crop. I think it's called the crop, yeah. I think so. Okay. In the facial structure, it's the ayin smol. It's the left eye. The letter for the month is tzadi. The mazal, the astrological, the horoscope, the sign, is a dli, is a pale. Interesting. And the shevet for the month of Shvat is usher. Alright, so we've got a lot of strange puzzle pieces that we need to somehow start putting together. Okay, so Chavra, first, what exactly does it mean that every month has a name of Hashem that corresponds to that month? Okay, so just to introduce us to this concept, let's learn a little B'nai Yisachar. Okay, so take a look in source number one, and let's try to understand, like, what am I supposed to do with that? You know, so great. So the name of Hashem for the month of Shvat is Hey Yud Vav and Hey. So what should I be meditating on that name of God? Every time I say Hashem's name in the month of Shvat, should I try to picture that arrangement of Hashem's? I mean, this sounds like heavy Kabbalistic, you know, work. Right, what am I supposed to do with it? So first I'll tell you what tzaddikim do with it, and then we'll try to make it a little more lamaisa, practical for people of our level. Not to say that we can't do what we're about to learn. Okay, take a look in source number one. It says the B'nai Yisachar. Ratzvi Elimelech of Dinov. You can see he passed away in 1841. And like I said, it was just his yard site on the 18th of Teves. Yadua mikisve maran ha'arizal. Asher b'chol rosh chodesh srichin l'chavein b'musaf b'tziyam ha'bracha ha'emtza'is. Tziruf havaya ha'sholetes ba'oso ha'chodesh. The Arizal teaches us that on Rosh Chodesh, and you're going to say, this is annoying, I wish you would have told me this before I davened this morning. Okay, but now you know. On Rosh Chodesh, when you daven Musaf, when you say the bracha, when you say that middle bracha of Musaf, right, you're supposed to be mechavein, you're supposed to have kavana for the name of Hashem that is sholetes. What does sholet mean? That dominates, that rules over that month. In other words, when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you're supposed to picture, supposed to think about that name of Hashem that's particular to that month. Okay. Sounds like a deep idea. Uvezeh peirashnu masha amru chazal. And with this we can understand what our sages taught. It's a medrash in Tehillim. Mipnei ma Yisrael mispalalin ve'einam ne'anim. One of our biggest questions. Why do we sometimes daven and we feel that we're not answered? One of the biggest frustrations of life for anyone who's ever opened a sitter. Why do I daven? I feel like Hashem doesn't answer enough. It's a big frustration. Why do we daven? The Medrash asks the question, why does B'nai Yisrael daven and they're not answered? Answers the Medrash, Mipnei she'einam yodim l'hispalel b'shem. Says the Medrash, a cryptic comment, because we don't know how to daven with the name. What does that mean? It quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Asagveyu ki yada shemi, Yikra'eni ve'aneu. Sounds like if you know my name, God says, then you'll be answered. What does it mean to know God's name? Who doesn't know God's name? We don't know how to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. We know how to say a bracha. Says the B'nai Yisachar at the end of the fourth line, V'nei l'chora eino muvan. I don't understand what that means. What does it mean we don't know how to daven with Hashem's name? V'al pi hanal yunach. But based on what we've explained from the Arizal, now we understand. What does it mean to daven with the name of Hashem? Not just to know how to pronounce God's name. Everyone knows how to say the word. Hainu, where it's bolded. She'enam yodim lechavin tziruf Hashem hasholeit ba'oso achodesh. But the Jewish people are not thinking about the fact that every month has a different energy. They don't know how to have the kavana of the tziruf. Tziruf means arrangement. The arrangement of the name of Hashem for that month. In other words, you're supposed to picture a certain arrangement of the letters for each month, and that's how you really tap in to the energy of the month. The same way that, think about it, I'll make it very poshut, right? A sukkah is a gavaldic thing, no? Sukkah is an incredible thing. When a Jew sits in the sukkah, he's sitting, it's like almost like being in the base of Mikdash. The sukkah is avira deret Yisrael, even if you're outside of Israel and you're in the sukkah, it's as if you're in Israel. The sukkah is hashras hashchina, you're in the presence of the shchina. But if you sit in a sukkah on Pesach, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't work. I mean, it's a nice way to maybe, you know, enjoy the outdoors, but it doesn't have the powers, right? So in a similar fashion, if I want to be able to tap into the month of Shvat, so I have to tap into the month of Shvat. Matzah is gevaldik, but matzah on Sukkot is not so gevaldik. Understand what I'm saying? A Megillah on Chanukah, Megillah Esther is always gevaldik, but Megillah on Chanukah is not so helpful. So the Medrash, that's what the secret of this Medrash is. The Medrash says, why do we daven and we're not answered? Because we don't know how to think about the name of Hashem. What does that mean? It means we're not thinking, like the Arizal is telling us, that every month has a particular name of Hashem, and if you're not tapping into the energy of the month, it's going to be very hard to access the spiritual powers of that month. And that's what it means to daven b'shem. Now again, the Arizal said, at the very least, we should try to do this, you know, when we kick off the month on the Rosh Chodesh davening, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But really, in truth, you're supposed to try to do this as much as you can. As much as you can. So when you drink a cup of coffee and you make a shahakal, and it's the month of Shvat, you could try to tap a little bit more into the energy of Shvat if you think about that name, Hey and Yud and Vav and Hey, when you make that bracha. Again, maybe that's high-level stuff, right? But it's something to at least be aware of. And again, we're going to learn many other things that are more practical for us. Says the Bnei Yisrael, Val Pizeh Pirashnu B'Moshe. With this, we can explain what Moshe was davening in his very famous tefillah. Moshe davened Ve'eschanan El Hashem Be'eis Hahi Lemor. Moshe davened. Okay, tough. Moshe davened Ve'eschanan. Ve'eschanan is a lashon of tefillah. Moshe davened. Chaver, how many tefillos did Moshe daven to try to get into Eretz Yisrael? He begged Hashem, please, 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 please. How many tefillos did he daven? 515, very good. The gematria of the word Ve'eschanan, 515. The gematria of the word Tefillah, Taf Pei Lamed Hei. Tefillah is not spelled with the Yud. Taf Pei Lamed Hei is 515. Tefillah, so Moshe davened an essential Tefillah. He davened every Tefillah. He davened Nusach Ari, he davened Nusach Sfar, he davened Nusach Ashkenaz, he davened every different Edut HaMizrach, he picked up every sitter he could find to try to what? To try to figure out which one is going to unlock that locked door blocking me from going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe says, I cried out, I davened to Hashem at that time. So what does it mean that Moshe davened, says the Bnei Yisrael, what does it mean? What does it mean, Moshe says, I davened at that time, Lamor saying. What does that mean, I davened at that time? Explains the Bnei Yisrael, you know what that means? V'alpi devarenu hanal yisparish. Ve'eschanan el Hashem be'eis ahi. El tziruf Hashem havaya hasholid b'chodesh ahu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I tried to use the name of the month. Because I know that when you daven with the name of the month, it has a much greater koach for your tefillos to work. And that's what Moshe says, Lamor, Moshe is telling us, Lamor, I'm telling you, you should also use that. Even though for whatever reason Hashem didn't answer me, for a number of reasons, but Moshe says, you have to know, there's something called davening ba'es hahi. Not all davening is the same. The way you daven in Adar is different than the way that you daven in Iyar. It's different than the way you daven in Teves. Ve'eschanan, I supplicated, I pleaded with Hashem at that time, and Moshe says, Lamor, Lidoros, for all future generations, you should know, this is the secret of davening. Okay, the Bnei Yisrael in source number 2 doubles down on this idea. He explains it again in his writings on Rosh Chodesh, and he adds a nice little thing at the end. He mentions at the end, he writes in the last line of source number 2, V'al kei nikru ayirachim chodesh. We call the month Chodesh. By the way, what was the first mitzvah that we got this coming week's parsha? HaChodesh HaZalachem. Hashem says, you want to have a relationship with me, you have to understand how to tap into the month. Right? It's a big inyan. Rosh Chodesh is it's a defining mitzvah of the Jewish people. It's the first mitzvah we got as a people. So we call the month a Chodesh. Right? How is Chodesh spelled in the Torah? Like many words in the Torah. It's spelled Chaser. It's not spelled Ches Vav Dalet Shin. It's just spelled Ches Dalet Shin. What's the gematria of Ches Dalet Shin, says the Bnei Yisachar? 312. You see, I did it for you. 312. So he says, what's 312? What's 312? It's 12 times 26. What's 26? 26 is Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei. How many different ways can you arrange Yudkei Vavkei? 12 different ways. 12 times 26 is gematria Chodesh. Alluding to the fact when Hashem says HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, understand the power of Chodesh, understand that again each month has a different key to unlock the door. Okay, everyone good so far? Yeah? Lofty stuff, no? But also very practical. Like, how do I not know this? Right? How do I go from one month to the next without having a sense that this is what's happening in the world? It's not just like in the Olamos. Yes, sir.
Knowledge or to have the proper
kavanah
when using God's name during each new month. But if one is educated enough,
yeah, go for it.
To do so, like,
yeah, go for it. You should go for it. Yeah, why not? Go for it. Go for it. Again, the most basic kavanah. I can't skip steps here. So, what's the most basic kavanah a Jew is supposed to have every time we say Hashem's name, Yod Kei Vav Kei? We're supposed to think that Hashem, as we pronounce it, Adonai, Hashem is the Adon HaKol. Right? That's what the word means. Ado, master of everything, master of all. Right? It's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Hey. In the fifth chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, every time you say Hashem's name, you're supposed to think Hashem is Adon HaKol, the master of all. And I'm also supposed to think, like the word Yud Kei Vav Kei implies, that Hashem is Haya, Hove, Viya. Hashem was, Hashem is, and will forever be. That's the most basic Kavanah. So every time you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you should try, if you can, to be Mechavin. When I say the word Ado, when I say Hashem's name, I think Adon HaKol, master of all, and Haya Hove V'yeh, past, present, and future. But if you want to kick it up a notch, and you want to try to train your eyes that when you look at the word of Hashem, you see it, the arrangement of that month, that's great. Go for it. I don't think it's inappropriate. It's davening. It's, you know. Again, you have to be careful. We can't, you know, just because you read something in a deep sefer doesn't mean that it's for everyone to apply. But I think, why not? I think if I want to tap into the energy of the month and I want my tefillos to be answered, you know, I don't think this is overstepping. I don't think we're pretending to be Kabbalists just by trying to daven with a little more thoughtfulness. I think it's appropriate. Oh? All right. Okay. All right, so let's talk about now the pasuk from which this name is derived. Okay, in source number 3, which is his writings on Chodesh Shvat, he gives us the pasuk that we already saw in the chart, Hamer Yemirenu Vahayahu, but we don't know the context yet. So let's look at the context. It's a pasuk in Bechukosai. Okay, go to the bottom source on the page. Source number 4, Parshas Bechukosai. Okay, here's what it says. The halacha is that if a person separates an animal to be offered as a karban, and then the person decides, you know what, I changed my mind. I actually want to give a different animal. I'm going to exchange this animal for a different animal. I'm going to replace the animal which I've already designated as sacred. I'm going to swap it out for a different one. Now, you might think that what am I not allowed to do? I can't. It would be improper to downgrade, to give a worse animal. But maybe if I'm giving a better animal, right, that should be allowed. No, you can't remove the Kedusha. The Kedusha is present on this animal. You can't just decide to swap it for a different animal. So says the Pasuk, look at the middle line. Lo yivakir bein tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu. You're not allowed, yimirenu, you're not allowed to exchange one animal for another animal. Tumura, meseches tumura, it's part of Seder Kodshim, is exchanges. You're not allowed, there's a prohibition in the Torah to exchange a sacred animal for another animal. Now, what happens if you do? Meaning, let's say you say, I am transferring the sanctity of this animal onto that animal. You know what happens? Well, first of all, you did it in the Veira, but it's a very strange Veira. You know why? Look what happens. V'im ha'mer yimirenu. V'hayahu utmuraso yakodesh lo yigael. So you know what happens? What happens? Im ha'mer yimirenu, if you try to make an exchange, what happens? V'hayahu utmuraso yakodesh. What happens? You know what happens? They're both holy now. The original one keeps its kedusha, and the new carbon is also now sanctified. You hear? And it's that phrase, Hamer Yemirenu Vahayahu, with the Rashi tables, Hey and Yod and Vav and Hey, that tzaddikim say, oh look, an allusion to the name of the month of Shvat. What does Temura have to do with the month of Shvat? And it's a strange Avera, because it's an Avera that works. You understand? You're not allowed to do it. Don't you dare. It's an Isser in the Torah. It's a prohibition. One of the 613. Do not exchange one animal for another. But you should know the punishment, so to speak, for doing it is that you created more holiness in the world. It's a funny thing. Now they're both holy. Strange, no? That's very strange. Doesn't matter if you're upgrading or downgrading. It doesn't matter if you try to make an exchange. Now they're both holy. So what does that have to do with the month of Shvat? And Stam, what's the lesson of the mitzvah or the Avera, this strange, you know, command of Temura? What's the secret of it? Okay, so let's turn to the second side. If ever today is an auspicious day in Jewish history. I told you, the Imrei Emes Legei Rebbe said, any day that is explicitly mentioned in the Chumash is a very significant day. What happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? So, if you look in the Sefer Toras Emes is a collection of teachings from the Apter Rav, as found in the writings of his student. The Apter Rav was the Ohev Yisrael, very famous Chassidish Sefer. But we have some of his teachings in a volume called Toras Emes. Okay? And in the very back of the Sefer, so he has some writings on Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, and he quotes the pasuk very beginning of Chumash Devarim, Ksiv Ba'ashtei Asar Chodesh, on the 11th month, Be'echad L'Chodesh, on the first of the month. However, what's the 11th month? Shvat. What's the first of the month? Rosh Chodesh. So what happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? What happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Chumash Devarim Perak Aleph. Ho'il Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Zos. Ooh-ah. This was the day that Moshe began to expound the Torah. What does that mean, Moshe began to expound the Torah? He expounded the Torah. And later it says, later on in Chumash Devarim, in Perach of Zion, it says that when Moshe expounded the Torah, it was Ba'er Heitev. He expounded it very well. This was the day that Moshe clarified the Torah. You know what the Chiddush Arim, the first Ge'er Rebbe, used to say about Shvat? He said, when Rosh Chodesh Shvat arrives, and I hope we'll be able to tap into this, every one of us on our own level, the Chiddush Arim said that when Rosh Chodesh Shvat arrived, he felt a radical change in his learning. He felt that he was able to say Chiddush Torah in the month of Shvat more so than other months. He said, I'm bringing down better Torahs. I'm saying deeper Torahs. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu opened things up for us. Moshe Rabbeinu began to be'er as a Torah, to expound the Torah. Right? It's a time, there's some type of awakening of Torah that's taking place. And by the way, the word be'er is similar to the word be'er. What's a be'er? A well. What was the mazel for the month of Shvat? A pail. What do you do with a pail? What do you do with a dali, a pail? You lower it to a low place, and what do? And you bring up the water. You dip down to a place that maybe you've never gone before, right? And you bring back sustenance, you bring back life. No, let's hear.
Why did Rosh Chodesh Shvat Moshe without the start doing Rosh Chodesh for them?
I don't know, it's a good question. I mean, why did Moshe Dafka on Rosh Chodesh Shvat start to unlock the Torah? What do you say, Mark? What do you say? I don't know. What's the pshat? Anyone have a pshat?
Is this around like when they're in the wild, like before they're about to enter?
So it's part of Moshe Rabbeinu's legacy of, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Meaning, we call Avram Avinu, we call Yosef Hatzadik. Moshe's Rabbeinu, he's a teacher. That's his first and greatest pride. of being a teacher, you know, of being able to expound, be able to expound the Torah. Another. Yeah, yeah, this is it. This is his final stretch.
That he has to show the Torah is a living document.
Correct.
People can't hear Torah is stagnant. Start doing it.
Correct.
He has to want to do it.
Correct. He wants to make sure that he sends a message that Torah is forever. And just how forever is it? What does Rashi say? What does the Gemara in Sota say? Look at the second line. Vidarshu, the Gemara says in Sota, Shabir as a Torah b'shivim lashon. Way before Art Scroll came along. Before Rav Biederman was in French. Before Rav Biederman was in Russian. Yeah, those who get Torah Wellsprings. In like 73 languages, yeah? So Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah into 70 languages. Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah into Shivim Lashon. Interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu unlocked the Torah for everyone. There's no one who doesn't have a Chelek in Torah. Yeah?
They also do translations of that thing.
Like
the rabbis say that.
Yeah. Nachon. That's right. That's a great question, right? When
Talmud
HaMelech forced the sages to translate the Torah into Greek, 3 days of darkness descended upon the world, right? Because it was a perversion of Torah. I think I mentioned to you guys that, right? Why 3 days of darkness? Why did Chazal say 3 days of darkness? Because Torah has four dimensions to it. Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. If you translate the Torah, you can have the Pshat, you can have the literal translation, but you lose all the deeper dimensions. It only works in Lashon HaKodesh. So there is a certain Bidi'eved. Yes, there is a certain bidi'evid to translating the Torah. But there's also a lechatchila in the sense that that person who has no access to Torah now has access. Right? And if it's done by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's very different than, you know, Talmai HaMelech being gozer, that the sages should translate the Torah into Greek. It's a different thing. Yeah, it's a different thing. Okay? Now, let's go a little further. Uper shubo hakadmonim, the earlier tzaddikim explained to us, that when the Pasuk says that Moshe translated the Torah and it was a be'er heitev, a very good translation, a good explanation, tzaddikim say that the word heitev, as spelled in the Chumash, hey, yud, tes, beis, actually alludes to the 70 language that Moshe translated into. Why? No? Yosef, na nach nachman meuman, right? So do the same thing with the word hey tev. Hey, hey yud tes bez. You see it? Hey is 5, hey yud is 15, hey yud tes is 24, hey tev is 26, put it together, it's 70. So the word hey tev actually alludes to the 70 translations that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Everyone see that? In the fourth line? Now, let's ask the question that we were discussing a moment ago. Vihine, where it's bolded, l'chora yipala, it's a pella. Lama asazos Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, rabban shokol ha-neviim, lasos kiviyachol tmura b'toraseinu akadosha. We just learned in Parshas Bechu Kosai that there's a prohibition of exchanging. We don't so quickly exchange Kedusha and start manipulating Kedusha, we try to leave it alone. There's a prohibition of the Torah, if something's kadosh, don't try to transfer that Kedusha onto something else. So Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you playing around with Hashem's document? Hashem gave it in the language that Hashem wanted to give it in. Why are you translating it into all these different languages? Isn't that degrading for the Torah? Ulahatik l'leshono sacherim, to translate it, to transform it into these other languages, isn't that a yerida for Torah? Isn't that a disgraceful thing to do? Haloksiv lo yachlifenu, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso. Right? We hold very stark. One of the principles of our faith is that the Torah will never be exchanged. We don't do the New Testament thing. There's no New Testament. We're old school. It's never going to be exchanged for another Torah. So Moshe now is starting to translate the Torah into other languages. That's a very dangerous thing. And even though the tmura that the Torah is describing, exchanging one animal for another, is when you say this one instead of that one, and Moshe, of course, was not doing that. Moshe wasn't saying that the Greek translation replaces the Hebrew translation. Right? It doesn't replace the Hebrew text. Im kol zeh, le'eza kavana asa shum nidnud tmura. But why would Moshe get involved? Why would he do anything that looks like an exchange? V'lama dafka be'echad l'chodesh, and why specifically did Moshe do this on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Hakol tzarich tam. This all needs explanation. No? Chaver, this is it. We're living it right now. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We're in it. We're not doing this year tomorrow. We're doing it today. This is what's in the air right now. Nu Ariel, what do you say?
I think for the reasoning for the translation is kind of the idea of like making it Derev Shaftainim. And
Sheafutsu.
Yeah.
That's here.
But the fact also that, right, Moshe is the seventh from Avraham Avinu, and the mission at that point for the seventh is to make it applicable to the world. The same concept with using the Atzei Shittim for the Mishkan. Those are just regular physical objects, but then you turn the Shittim into just the Kedusha.
Right.
So it's the same idea with the Torah. You turn it into these 70 languages. That's bringing more godliness into the world.
So you're showing how Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is sholeit on all the peoples and all the languages and all the cultures, and everything is receiving by way of the Torah. Yeah. 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 Okay. So you want to say that's why Shvat is Rashi Tevos Baal Shem Tov? That's what you want to say?
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
Exactly.
I'm with you. Yeah.
You say that, like, this is supposed to be the Tekena, right? You're taking the Shonel extenders of the world, right, down the depths, and you're bringing them up by translating it into Torah.
Right.
Right.
So, like the pail that has to dip down to a low place, right? Not for the goal of staying low. It's you go down to bring up, right? You go down to bring up. It's like the Jewish people in these parshios. What's happening now, right? We went down to the lowest place. We went down to Mitzrayim for the sake of coming up to Har Sinai, to the highest place, to the greatest moment of world history. Okay. Okay. Good. So let's see what he says. Ulahavin zos yesh lomar, ki kavana gedola kivein bezer rabban shel kol hanaviyim. Moshe Rabbeinu had great intention here. Dihinei hayud beis chodshei hashanahim neged yud beis serufei havaya. The 12 months of the year correspond to the 12 arrangements of Hashem's name. V'chol tziruf yotze mipasuk, and each one is hinted to in a different pasuk. Isme roshei tevin, some come from the first letters of the pasuk. Isme sofei tevin, some come from the last letters of the pasuk. B'tikune Zohar, all of this is found in very deep Svarim. V'tziruf shachodesh teves, right? And the month of teves, the previous month, yotze mitevel shal pasuk gadlu lahashem iti uneroma mashumo yachtov. Hey yud, hey and vav. Okay. V'lakach, oz tigvures hadinim rachmana litzlan. If you look at the month of teves, which is a very dark month. We get a little bit of light at the beginning of the month, a little less, you know, last couple of days of Hanukkah. But Teves, right, is a very dark and cold month. It's an Esav Dik month. It's a very negative month. That's why, look what happens, look at the name of Hashem for Teves. It's Hey Yud, Hey Vav. The first half of Hashem's name is what? It's flipped, and the second half is flipped, right? The Hey dominates the Yud, and the Hey dominates the Vav. It's almost like a double Midas Hadin. Like it says in the Zohar. What did you say?
That's last month.
That's last month. What's happening now? Continuing where it's bolded. V'chein tziruf shel chodesh shvat. Yotze meirashe tevos shel apasuk. Right, the pasuk that we've been learning. Im hamer yamirenu v'hayahu. Utmuraso yakodesh. V'chamisha asar b'shvat maschil leheir vav hei kisidron. But the month of Shvat, and already from Rosh Chodesh, we have to believe that things are going to get straightened out. Right now it's a little bit backwards, right? The month starts off, hey, yud. Starts off inverted. But by the time you get to Tu B'Shvat, right, you're starting to see that what things are changing in the world. Now the truth is, we're going to look at the trees in 2 weeks from now. They're not going to look much more alive than they are right now. But you have to be a person of deep perception. You have to realize that something's happening. That things are starting to, the trees starting to spread out. It's starting to come alive. Very, very slowly. And we, the Jewish people, have eyes to recognize that, to believe in that. Right? And from that point forward, the Midas Hadin is not so strong, is not so heavy in the world. So concludes the Torah Samus, five lines from the bottom. V'hinei hashivim umos heim nitzotzin shenaflu misharsham harama b'kodesh. The 70 nations are sparks of holiness that have fallen from their shoresh, have fallen from their root, right? Kind of like the leaves that have all fallen off the tree, and now it's going to start gathering again. The tree is going to come to life again. That's what's happening in the month of Shvat. V'achizosam heim ba'osios ha-Torah. And yet, everything, like Ariel was saying, all right, like Mark was saying, everything is what? Everything is really rooted in the Torah. All the people of the world, whether they realize it or not, they may never learn Torah in their life. Right? But there's some person somewhere in some, you know, far-flung part of the world who's sustained by Torah, whether he realizes it or not. Torah is the blueprint of reality. Torah upholds the whole world. That's not only if you learn it and if you're connected to it. But Torah is the metzias of the world. And therefore, look, kigon plishtim, kaftorim, edom, vidomeim, all the nations that are mentioned in the Torah. We always wonder, like, why do I need to know the descendants of Esav? Why do I need to know the names of the descendants of Yishmael? Why does Tanakh mention all these places that don't even mean that much to me? All the places that Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. Right? The very fact that they're alluded to or referenced in some way in the Torah, that gives them existence. And the root in the Torah is what keeps them alive. So, Chevra, we have to realize, whether you were learning a lot over the break, or whether you're very happy to be back in yeshiva because now you can get back to learning. Right? Whether you were chazering the first parak of Gittin, or you haven't opened your Gemara in, I don't know, 4 weeks. Yeah, we should know that the Torah always carries us. It always sustains us. That's the metzias. That's how it is. But sometimes what happens is that the farther something away is from Torah, so it can become a life force that's a perverted life force. Again, when we live a life that is guided and directed by Torah, so our life is sustained and directed by Torah in a holy way. If I live off of the Torah but I don't have respect for Torah values, right? So then I'm still living off of the Torah whether I realize it or not, but my actions have fallen into the klipa. My actions have fallen away from holiness. Right? I'm not doing my mission in this world. And therefore, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want to do? On Chodesh Shvat, as the trees are starting to come alive again, right? As Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of giving over his final message to Klal Yisrael before he passes away on Zion Adar, right? In about 40 days' time, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want the world to know that Torah is responsible for its existence. I want that. I want to show just how far that pale can reach. Down into the depths, right? I could bring up water. Ein mayim el Torah, b'vakama daf yud zayin. Ein mayim el Torah, right? We've got a pail that can reach very far. V'lekach rotza Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom la'alosim u'lahamtik hakol b'sharsho. Moshe is trying to bring everything back. The roots under the tree, which are starting to what? Which are starting to again draw from the nutrients. The tree is not alive yet. But like Rashi writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, you know what's happening on Tu B'Shvat? The sap inside the tree is starting to rise up. Everything's starting to lift up. The month of Shvat is a time of Aliyah. Who's the Shevet for the month of Shvat? Asher. What do we know about Asher? What do we know from the bracha of Asher? What's Asher's bracha in the Torah? Asher is known for what? May Asher shmeina lachmo. Asher is associated with shemen. However, what's the nature of oil? What does oil do? It rises up. It rises up. Oil always rises up. You mix it in, what does it do? It's always lifting up. It's always drawing upwards. Like that pail that's always lifting up. The roll of a pail. Right? I mean, Asher is rising up. Yeah? There's an aliyah that's taking place. So that's what's happening in the world right now. And again, you have to be a person of deep perception to recognize it because the world's still, what do you mean? It's still freezing cold. It's still dark. It's still rainy. There's still snow coming up. There's all sorts of coldness right around the corner, right? And I'm supposed to believe that what? That all of a sudden we're starting to thaw out. We're starting to sprout again. But a Jew believes, yeah, we're starting to sprout again. And from wherever we're coming from. You understand what that means? I'm not just talking about like wherever you came back to YU from this past week. I'm talking about wherever you're coming from in life. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to dispatch on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. I'm going to send out branches that can reach to wherever they need to reach. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Torah has this incredible ability to reach out. And anyone who wants to grab onto it can grab onto it. So that's part of the tmura that's taking place. What is tmura? Tmura, on the one hand, we're saying is an aveira. Right? You're not allowed to exchange holiness for something else. Right? But what's happening in the month of Shvat? There is a transformation that's taking place. There is a tmura that's taking place. There is an expansion of Kedusha that's taking place. Sometimes in a funny way. Right? sometimes in a place where it looks like there's an isser, because there's a prohibition of exchanging one animal for another, what emerges? More holiness emerges. Who would have thought that the Jewish people would become the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? Right? That's where we became Klal Yisrael. You sent us to the most unholy place in the world to become, to then be transformed into your holy people. But that's what these parshas are about. That's the history of our people. That's part of the secret of Chodesh Shvat. Okay, so Chavar, let's just wrap up. Source number 6. What was the first word we ever heard in Torah? This is one of my favorite teachings. The first word we ever heard from Hashem at Har Sinai was the word Anochi. Anochi. There's a sefer Meir Einei Chachamim from Meir Yechiel Halevi Halstak, better known as the Ostrovtser. Okay, the Ostrovtser is a big, big tzad, one of the big tzadikim in Poland. The Ostrovtser is Mamish Kodesh Kadashim. The Ostrovtser. And the Ostrovtser has an amazing Torah in the sefer Meir Einei Chachamim. The Medrash says on the word Anochi that the word Anochi, the first word ever spoken at Har Sinai, says the Medrash, was Lashon Mitzri. It was actually an Egyptian word. Now you'll say, what do you mean? Anochi is a Hebrew word. But says the Medrash, no, Anochi actually became a Hebrew word, but its origin is actually an Egyptian word. Really? Why is God speaking to us at Har Sinai in Egyptian? I thought we left Mitzrayim. I thought we got out of Mitzrayim. V'tzorech lahavin, where it's bolded. Madua pasach Hashem yisbarach ha'aseres ha'dibros b'lashon Mitzri. Why would Hashem begin his drush at Har Sinai speaking Egyptian? Isn't that everything we're trying to leave behind? Isn't that everything I'm trying to detach from? Why would Hashem do that? What's the tmura that Hashem's trying to make? Why is Hashem exchanging Egyptian for Hebrew? Why is he blurring those worlds? What's Hashem trying to say? V'nira li shiratza Hashem yisbarach lahoras lanu. Hashem was trying to convey to us, this is one of the most important teachings I could possibly share with you. Sha'afilu ha'odom omid b'madrega pechusa. Even if you're still at the bottom of the well, even if you're really, really far from the shoresh, even when a person stands in a really low place, we were in a low, low place when we came out of Mitzrayim. B'chinas Mitzrayim. Even if I'm coming back from Egypt, Mitzrayim's Erev HaSa'aretz. Even if I've done very lowly averos, and I'm drawn after my body, and I give in to my taivos, and I wonder sometimes if someone of my nature, my caliber, is ro'oi, is worthy of Torah. Afilu sham yecholim lahakir ki Hashem echad ve'enon mavado. Hashem says, I reach out to you in Egyptian. I call you up on the phone in Egyptian. Hashem says, Anochi. Hashem says, don't convince yourself you're unworthy of Torah. It's not true. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Even if you speak Egyptian more than you speak Hebrew, Hashem says, don't worry. I'll give you an Egyptian translation of the Torah. It's incredible. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's absolute belief in the ability to what? To transform Tmura, the secret of Tmura, the holiness of Tmura, to transform a Jew who looks like an Egyptian on the outside, a dead tree on the outside, but incredibly alive on the inside. Incredibly alive on the inside. And even when I'm busy with all sorts of Olam Hazeh things, and even when I'm doing my college schoolwork, and even when I'm chasing my summer internship, and even when I'm eating a slice of pizza in the store across the street, I can still cling to Hashem. My Gashmius is not a contradiction to my Ruchnius. The part of my Egyptian upbringing is not a contradiction to my desire to be close to Hashem. And he ends the piece and he says, and we see it one other place. What does the Torah refer to tefillin as? Totafos. What does Rashi say about the words totafos? Yeah, it's a strange combination of tot and fot is two African languages. Tot means two and fot means two. And 2 + 2 = 4 and there's 4 parshios in your tefillin. What? That's the word you want to use for tefillin? That's what I'm going to bind myself to God with? Foreign language words? What's the foreign culture? Is what that's where I'm going to come to God from? And the answer is yes. Even from such a place, Hashem says, I choose you there. I select you there. Okay, so let's conclude this year on the final source with the Sefer Tabas Hazav. Tabas Hazav is Rav Mutl Zilber, the Sechina Rebbe, Shlita's Sefer, on Tu B'Av and Nisuin and marriage. Okay, and he has a beautiful Torah from about, 20 some years ago, on Tu B'Shvat, on Tu B'Av, Tu B'Shvat. And he says an amazing thing, the final source. Hinei Chodesh Shvat Shayach Le'inyin Shel Aliyah. And Chaver, this is my opening tefillah on behalf of all of us. We begin a new Zman together. Right. What is Shvat about? Shvat is about rising up, drawing close to the source, starting to sprout again. The whole Inyan of Chodesh Shvat is the Inyan of Aliyah. Shah Saraf Ole Ba'ilan. The sap, Saraf means the sap. The sap is rising in the tree. You can't see it. The same way that from one day to the next, if you come to Shir, you miss a Shir, it's hard to see. Does it make a difference? Am I really changed from one Shir to the next? But I can tell you, the guys who come and immerse themselves in their experience here in Yeshiva, and they learn day in and day out, right, it's hard to see from one day, from Monday to Tuesday, it's hard to see the difference. But from one semester to another semester, from one year to another year, you can definitely see a difference. You got to believe in that. There's an aliyah, there's something internally that's taking place. V'chein ha-mazel shel chodesh shvat hu deli. Again, the astrological sign for the month of Shvat is a pail because it lifts up the water, draws water from the deep well springs. V'gam chodesh Shvat hu keneged shevet Asher, like we mentioned, it corresponds to the tribe of Asher. About Asher, it says v'tovel b'shemen raglo, that he dips his foot. Foot's the lowest part of the body. The lowest part of the body somehow makes contact with shemen. What is shemen? Shemen is the oil that always rises up. So, and somehow, again, the avoda of Shvat is to take from the lowest place and to somehow bring it up to the highest place. V'shemen ol of itzaf al kol mashkin. Oil rises up, it floats above all other liquids. Nimtza shekol chodesh hazeh shayach le'inyin aliyah. So, however, the avoda of this month is to what? It's to just to be a ben aliyah. To be a growing Jew. To be a Jew who's trying to rise up. Shekol edvar mashveilim olim. Right? To reach out. To reach into our low places and to try to lift it up a little bit, try to pick it up. And again, this is all comes about through the Torah, which Moshe began expounding on this month. Torah is also compared to Shemen, right? Deep Torah especially is compared to Shemen. And that's why it has this incredible ability to float and to rise up. Okay, look at the last paragraph in the left column. V'chein ha-parsha shel matan Torah, shehu parshas Yisrael. Says the Stuchina Rebbe, you ever wonder, how could it be that the name of the Parsha, that centerpiece of the Chumash, where we get the Torah, where God speaks to us, how could it be that the Parsha is called Yisro? Who is Yisro? Kohen Midian? The biggest Oved of Avodah Zarah? The Gadol Ador of Avodah Zarah? You're going to name the Parsha of God revealing himself to the world after Yisro? You know, Rabbi Nachman has a Torah. Rabbi Nachman says that there was a Shabbos meal. Rabbi Nachman says that he was with Rabbi Nachman on the Shabbos, and they were discussing how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an equally astounding question, how could Moshe Rabbeinu marry Yisro's daughter? Can you imagine? The Gadol Ador married the Pope in Rome's daughter. That's what it is. Rabbi Nachman said it's one of the deepest mysteries of the whole Torah. One of the deepest secrets of the Torah is how could Moshe Rabbeinu marry Yisro's daughter? But another way to say the same question is how could Parshas Yisro be called Parshas Yisro? God's Parsha is called Parshas Yisro? How could such a thing be? Says Rav Matl Zilber, it's Pashut. It's so Pashut. Hashem is so proud to name the Parsha where he gives the Torah Parshas Yisro. Because you know what happened to Yisro? Yisro went from being the biggest Oved of Avodah Zarah to becoming the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro is the ultimate proof that when you make contact with Torah, you become transformed. That Torah is transformative. Look what he writes. V'chein ha-parsha shel matan Torah shu parshas Yisro. Mora al inyan zeh teaches this lesson. Sha-Torah yoredes l'chol ha-amakim. Torah will find every crack and crevice of our soul. V'goremes aliyah l'chol ha-shveilin. And Torah lifts up every part of ourself that's unrefined, that's low. Because there was no Avodah Zarah that Yisro didn't serve, Ubal his Gayer. And Yisro became not just a Ger, he became a real Ger. He became a real Ben Torah. Ki b'koach haTorah, shemidasa shiuredes l'chol ha'makim, that's the nature of Torah. It expresses itself, it expands itself into the lowest places, umales hakol. So therefore, yes, even a Yisro could be totally transformed when he comes into contact with Torah. So Chaver, that's our mission statement for the month of Shvat, and that's our mission statement for, you know, for the Zman, and that's our mission statement for life, to be a Ben Aliyah. To be a Ben Aliyah. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said one time, with this I'll conclude, Ra'isi b'nei Aliyah, I see the b'nei Aliyah of the world, and they are few and far between. It's Gemara in Sukkah. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, I see the b'nei Aliyah in the world, and they are few and far between. One of the tells of Rashi Yeshiva once said, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai did not say b'nei Ma'aleh. What's the difference between a Ben Aliyah and B'nai Ma'ala? B'nai Ma'ala means people who've made it to the Ma'alos, people who've achieved greatness. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, no, I'm not talking about that I see there are a few people who really make it. That's not what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is lamenting. You know what he's lamenting? Re'isi B'nai Aliyah V'hein Mu'atim. I don't even see people who want to grow. And that's very sad. There's no excuse to not want to grow. Where you're going to get to, that's up to Hashem. You try your best. Different people will get to wherever we're supposed to get. Don't worry about where you're going to get to. But the goal is to be a Ben Aliyah. Have the willingness, what am I going to pull up from the well? I'm not sure, but at least lower the pail. Put the pail down into a low part of yourself and try to catch something. Maybe you'll get a lot of water. Maybe you'll get a little bit of water. Okay. Ein mayim ela Torah. See what you can catch. See what you can find. Right? But that's the tmura. That's the transformation that's taking place in the month of Shvat. That's the expansion of Kedusha. That's the translating of the Torah into Shivim Lashonos. That's Hashem introducing himself at our Sinai in Lashon Mitzri, talking in Egyptian, to say that he wants each and every one of us. Okay, so we should be Zocha. We should be Zocha to live these words. No? Anigan. Anigan to start the Nizman. Some chavrusas. Yeah, questions first, comments, questions.
What does